This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Episode 215 of a Touchline Rant podcast. We're back, new season. I mean, we didn't really take, did we take a summer break? I guess we did, really. This must be what it's like to be a League Two player. You get a very brief break and then you're back into pre-season again. We're on top form pre-season because this week I'm joined by Nathan. Say hello.
Evening.
Cassie, say hello.
Hello, hello.
And Mitchell. Back
hello
from his soiree that he had across the continent. Right, transfers. Arguably the best and the worst time to be a football fan in equal measure, depending on, you know, who you support. What I want to do is I want to play a little bit of a game. I want you to rate clubs' business so far.
Ooh.
Out of 10. That's what I want you to do. Okay, so I'm going to throw some names out there. There's some of these won't be confirmed, but there's also there'll be ones which are heavily linked. Now, we're going to start, so we can get it out the fucking way, early doors. We're going to start at Manchester United. Okay? Who, without even being a football club that are active, because it's the summer, have wound me up potentially more than they did last season. When last season, it was like, I just gave up in the end. Now they're annoying me. So they've brought in Malacia. That's confirmed. It looks as though Christian Eriksen is all but confirmed. We are in talks with De Jong. He doesn't want to come to Manchester United, and no one in the world is blaming him. He wants to stay at Barcelona. And Martinez is choosing between Manchester United and Arsenal, which to me is like picking your own, you know, death sentence. How do you want to be executed? just get up. It really doesn't matter. There's better shops in London. Let's go there. Cassie, to you, what would you rate that? If that's the four they go for, so it's Malacia, Martinez, De Jong and Eriksen. Is that a good window, do you think?
Well, considering United probably need 10 new players.
Yeah. I mean, and that's being fair.
It's a start. The thing that concerns me most with United is the massive instability that is in that squad right now.
Yeah.
Needing all the new players, like needing a massive overhaul, the boardroom being in absolute disrepair. I mean, you've had like a new director of football, a new head coach, a new head scout. Like, it's, imagine being a player in that team right now.
I know. And imagine then not only being a player in that team, but then look into your captain for inspiration and look, you sat there.
I mean, Ronaldo didn't want to fucking be there anymore either. And that,
one wants to be there. Ten Hag's already had second thoughts.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's outside of his 14 days.
Do you know what I mean? I was going to say, he's looking for the receipt, isn't he? Definitely.
All I can imagine is that whoever's recruiting right now is just, it's shotgun transfers. They've basically got guns to players' heads around the country right now, just seeing who they can force to get in.
Yeah, it's literally, it looks as though what they're doing is that they're trying to identify, they've got fair play to him. De Jong was the first one that it looks as though that's the key target. And that is an area that we need to strengthen, and he'd be a great signing.
Oh,
the problem is, if us four, nobodies, let's be honest, if us four know that Manchester United need to buy a load of players, so the fucking Barcelona. Do you know what I mean? So they're going to be like, well, we don't want to sell him. It's like, yeah, but you need the money. Yeah, I know, but just keep giving us more money. Because we don't want to.
They're just going, who do we want to pan off? Let's just pretend we really, really want to keep them so they give us a fuckload of money. But who do we want to shoo out the door?
It's literally, it's, I was reading earlier that it's now a straight shoot up between Lewandowski, Brink coming in, and De Jong leaving. So if that doesn't happen, they can't bring in Robert Lewandowski, and everyone wants them to sign him. Like, he wants to join. So it's like, they will be pushing him out the door eventually, but it's waiting for United to up the offer. I'm going to throw this one to a fellow Manchester United fan, because this is a big this is a big thing. Nathan, Cristiano Ronaldo seems to have had enough. One, do you blame him? Two, do you actually, like, how much do you care?
I don't blame him. I do care, because out of all the problems that we had last season, he wasn't really one of them. You know, he did get us goals. He did get us points that we needed. He is a focal point for us at the moment. And if we lose Ronaldo, who do you replace him with at the moment? There's not an out-and-out prospect coming through the ranks, really. I did see something online that said, you know, it's Ronaldo out and then potentially Dybala in because his deal with Inter is stalling at the moment. Yeah. So, you know, there's talk about us looking for him, you know, to come in and replace him. So, do I care? Yes, because I want United to do well. You know, and that is my sort of, yes, I do care, because I hope that this is the window and this is the manager that takes us back to that sort of, not so much glory period, but, you know, challenging and being successful.
Just being in the conversation would be nice.
Would that be helpful as well?
Winning a game?
You know.
Yeah.
Now and again, like, you know, a couple, 3 points now, every other week would be nice.
Not dropping 4 points to Watford. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I didn't realise.
The other week as well that, you know, there was this thing about, oh, United have a history of signing players late in windows. You know, it's always like August time that we tend to do like the big deals for players. Like, I think Berbatov was. Van
Transfer
Nistelrooy
deadline
was.
Day, Berbatov was. Transfer deadline day.
You know, but there was a,
Daniel Levy
a thing.
Kept
it
going.
It listed the players that we'd signed like really late in the transfer window. And you're sort of looking at it going, yeah, they were really good players, but they weren't coming into squads like this. They were coming into squads that had been successful. So United could afford to go, we won't do anything now. We'll just see what's out there. We'll put feelers out. We'll have a look. If we get somebody, great. If we don't, it's still a successful squad. It's not, this is the pits. Ah.
Yeah, my concern is that dropping it into Manchester United right now is the exact opposite as extracting a soldier from like a rack. Do you know what I mean? When they're in complete shock and awe that they what they've just witnessed. It's the exact opposite. They coming in and they're all happy. Oh, look, I've got a new contract. Oh, I've got a suit on. Oh, my mum's here. They're loving life. And then they realise where they are. And they turn around and there's just, you know, there's a bin on fire. Eric Bailly's probably in it. He's probably... fire.
Joe's just poking it with a stick going, this will be fun.
Let's be honest as well. The league starts a month today. And United have still got half a squad and no one transfer confirmed. And they've got a month.
And we've only binned off the players that were leaving anyway. You know, it's all the players that are out of contract. They've just gone, yeah, we're still going. you've still got, though, like the likes of Martial that probably needs to go. Maguire
coming back to Manchester United. I mean, he's probably one of the only people in the in that team who actually should be grateful. This man, he's shocking abroad. He was shocking. Mitch, I'm going to throw this one at you. Just briefly back to Ronaldo. The opposite side of this argument is that actually the reason Manchester United went from a side that finished second in the Premier League to, I mean, where were we? Weren't second, so I don't care where we were. Is that because they reshaped the way that they played to fit Ronaldo in?
No, I don't buy that. I think Ronaldo actually, as Nathan said, he got them points which they wouldn't have got without. I think he was a positive last season. And I think it'd be it's easy now, it's become this narrative that, you know, Ronaldo doesn't press. They've had to change the way they play. It's rubbish. There was so many players who underperformed last season, defended like clowns. And that's not Ronaldo. You know, I know you could say you all defend as a team, but Ronaldo put in a shift last season, and it would be very easy to say they changed the way they play because of Ronaldo. But if you do that, you're kidding yourself, and it's there's so many more issues that they needed to address. So many players were off it last season, and I don't buy the fact that of pinning it on Ronaldo at all. And I do think losing Ronaldo, it is a concern, because you know, I don't blame him, because I think it's difficult, because on the one hand, you know, the argument is that United could have done with knowing he wanted to leave as early as possible so they could start looking to replace him. But the way United have done business lately, they have been leaving it late. And to be fair, you can't blame what Ronaldo's done. He's had a look. He's gone, are they showing ambition? Are they making the transfers in the transfer market that gets me excited and ready to play for United again? And he's not seen it. It's been slow progress. And now he's turned around and said he wants to leave. So I do think he'll be a big miss for him, yeah.
I don't see any way that he stays now, really. Like today, the headline was United don't know if he'll be on the tour. What do you mean you don't know?
Yeah.
How can you not know? Is that isn't it sorted out? Home Alone?
He didn't turn up for family reasons, wasn't it, or something, for training. And now he might not be on tour. It's like, oh.
I just want the club to come out and go, listen, this is what's happened. This is what's happened. Ferguson would have.
Yeah.
Ferguson did with Wayne Rooney. Wayne Rooney told him he wanted to leave. Ferguson did a press conference about it. The next day he signed a new contract.
Well, he did it when Ronaldo joined, when he came back, didn't he? He was like, what's going on? Is he going to City? Let's sort this shit out now. He's like, did you have to get me out of my armchair? I'm bloody watching Loose Women in the afternoon. You know, why would I can come back and sort this shit out?
Maybe that's why he's not going on the pre-season tour. Maybe it's because he's letting him leave. He's like, cut the shit out now. Pack it in. Right. Let's get, this is on to part two of the Let's Get It Out the Way Early. Tom.
Finally, a good transfer window for me.
Really good transfer window.
Brilliant.
I mean, you've got Perisic, Longley been confirmed as we're recording this. I have no.
Well, for
Mitch, I was going to ask Mitch, but Mitch don't know. Mitch has been asleep.
He's not been spotted here.
This is the episode that we could tell Mitch any transfer has happened and he'd go, bloody, I didn't see that coming.
Fabrizio seemed to confirm it today that it was basically a done deal. And I feel like anything Fabrizio Romano says, it's like Harry Redknapp hanging out of a car window on deadline day. It's always going to happen.
I know. So it's so annoying that he just...
could just refresh my Instagram on him just because they're in the story. Just go, where are we? Okay, brilliant.
There's nothing that guy doesn't know. Like, he knows things quicker than Sky Sports knows things. It's unbelievable. But yeah, I don't know what Conte has done, but I've never seen Daniel Levy put his hand in his pocket like this. The Spurs players are probably going to be eating Tesco value beans on toast for next season. But
he's on a Ryanair flight, though, isn't he? He's on a Ryanair flight because of all he's spending, you know.
That's it. Levy's
Conte
gone.
To Ryanair, here we go.
Conte had the middle seat.
Levy turned around and he said, I'll give you 150 mil, but I'm going to charge 75 quid for a home shirt. You're all fucking getting Ryanair and it's beans on toast for the next 12 months. That's it.
Do not knock beans on toast. The best. Anyway, yeah. I think it is.
Harry Winks is driving the bus to away games.
Yeah. Winks is out the door, bless him. We've shipped him off. But, yeah,
would you get 40 million for him or something stupid, wouldn't it?
Unbelievable. I really like Winksy because obviously he's a Spurs boy, but yeah, unbelievable bit of business to get that many for. But for me, the best thing about these Spurs signings, it's not like we're not in a position right now where we need lots of signings. You know, we did well last season. This is strength and depth, and that's so exciting. Like for me, that's like, this is us challenging and bringing ourselves closer to Man City and Liverpool, because we're putting Perisic and Bissouma and our Richarlison up front where we've already got Kane, Son, like unbelievable. Like we're just adding depth and it's really exciting.
just because football depresses me more than it excites me at the minute, I just want to say that once Manchester United finished second and then went out in the summer and bought Real Madrid centre-back Cristiano Ronaldo, Jadon Sancho, and we've just come off the back of our worst season. So just...
Thanks, Luke. I know. Maybe the first game of the season, I'll go, oh, God.
Well, this isn't me speaking. This is what Manchester United have done to me. They've turned me into a man who cannot bear to see someone else happy about their football club.
You bitter old man.
I am.
But no, if I was a player in that Spurs squad right now, you know, we were looking at losing Kane 12 months ago.
It's mad now, how that's come
it's
around.
It's not a discussion because I think, just like we're saying, you know, Ronaldo just being left out the door at United, what does that say to the other players? You know, what does it say that they're not making signings to Ronaldo? The exact opposite's happened at Spurs. The players are sat there going, well, hang on, look what they're doing. They're absolutely shoehorning money and strength into it. So
it's phenomenal signings. Mitch, I would suggest the best signing is probably Richarlison, because he had something I would suggest is different to that. So Perisic is a good signing. Let's assume that Conte is going to play him as a wing back. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But correct me, but Spurs were, the issue at Spurs was not wing back last season. Do you know what I mean? They were banging him in. So like Cassie said, it is adding great genuine strength and depth. And I'm assuming probably Emerson will leave. Maybe.
Yeah.
But Richarlison, there's no other player in that Spurs squad like him. So add that to Kulishevsky and Son and Kane. Maybe Lucas Moura, but again, I don't know whether or not he may leave. I don't know. But that's a really good attacking side.
Yeah. I think you look at the sides that, so if you're trying to break into the echelons of Liverpool and Man City, they've got, you know, they've all got sort of three or four forwards that they can kind of rotate, and particularly when you've got such a, you know, it's such an intense season when you're trying to challenge on all fronts. And I think Richarlison's a signing of showing intent. I think that's what it's about. It shows intent. And it's a good signing. He's a good player. He's definitely one that can still improve, can add to his game. Conte can definitely do that for him. But we saw last season that he was, you know, the bright spark in Everton's season. And I think, he does add something different. I think it shows, and it's the sort of thing, like, as Cassie was saying, you know, it's the what they're adding to the squad. I think it's going to rejuvenate players that are there as well. So if you think back to last season with Kane, you know, he wanted to go, and I think his mind was elsewhere at the start of last season. There's no doubt about it, looking back, and he proved as the season went on. And I think what happened, you know, it came clear that he wasn't going to City. It took a while for him to get over that. Conte comes in. Conte, you know, at the start, it was a sort of a, you know, step forward, step back. But then by the end of the season, finished the season strong. Kane's happy. Mm. He's rejuvenated because he's seeing the direction. So we were talking about Ronaldo before, not seeing United showing that ambition in the transfer market and wanting to leave. Mm. Kane's seeing the opposite. He's seeing that. He's seeing that intent with Richarlison signing and players like that. And I think it does boost the squad. And I think, so yeah, it's all positive. And I think you're going to see players like Son and Kane respond to that. And I think they'll respond to having someone else that can, you know, unlock defences and create new opportunities and do things a little bit different in the team. So, yeah, exciting times, I think, yeah.
It is exciting times.
It's that pressure for a position as well, isn't it? Because, you know, we've been in a position for a long time where our starting 11 has to be our starting 11 and one injury comes in and that's it. But you look at squads like Man City, where you couldn't predict the starting 11 week by week, and it changes, and you're always amazed at no matter what starting 11 they have, it's world class. And I think it's good for players to see, no, I need to work for my position and not just assume I'm getting 90 minutes on a Saturday and Sunday. Like, it's good for them to see.
Kane's plays so many minutes for Tottenham over the years, and we've said so many times, like, if Kane gets injured, you know, Spurs are screwed. They haven't got that type of striker to replace him, and Son can do a job. But I think it's now you've got that ability to even rotate, and you know you're going to need that because you know that Conte will want to be challenging not up there, not just up there in the league, but it's an opportunity. You know, he's got an opportunity to bring a trophy to Spurs, so he's going to want to compete on a few fronts, and obviously the Champions League as well. So I think, yeah, they're going to need that sort of strength and depth as well.
They've added so many good players to an already exciting squad. It was, whereas talking about them, like, because usually, like we've all sort of said, usually what would happen is that you go, oh, why is Richarlison signing for Spurs when they've got Kulusevski, when they've got Son, when they've got, you know, these players, because he's not going to get enough game time. But man, actually, that doesn't really matter, because they can afford to lose players like Sterling and Gabriel Jesus, and it not actually impact their team to a huge amount, which is just crazy. And that's what the level everyone else is trying to get to. And Spurs, I'd now argue, are closer than most.
Front, I mean, Chelsea obviously
have got a very, very good squad, as have Liverpool. But Spurs, genuine options, like a few more, you know, and it's really good. Any worries about Sen potentially being...
I'm not concerned at the moment. I think Sen comes across as someone that's very happy at Spurs. And I think he's very dedicated to the project. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He always comes across.
I love watching him.
He's so humble, you know? He's normal all round. I think Spurs probably had, I'd go out and say, maybe the best window. They've spent the number. The only team that I think will come close, and I'll bring it back to the master area of the podcast, Manchester City, have signed Haaland and Phil. And they've, again, you just look at it and go, right, Gabriel Jesus has left. You know, I know he went after, but Gabriel Jesus has gone out the door. Haaland's coming. Fernandinho has gone out the door. Phillips has come in. If Sterling leaves, it genuinely wouldn't surprise me if they sign Neymar. Would still say this?
But just because of the Haaland beats any other transfer that's going
to be made this window.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You can't take away the sheer quality he brings to the table.
Unreal. For like 50p in a bag of hobnobs as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, we sort of touched on it earlier, talking about United, of, you know, when we signed players late in windows and stuff previously, we were always sort of adding to a quality squad, so it didn't really matter what time we signed them. Like with City, they've added quality to a quality squad. You know, they're just building on top, you know, and like you said, Sterling goes, it doesn't matter, you know, Sterling goes, they'll bring somebody else in, and it won't just be a player to fill a spot. Like you said, it potentially, they'll just go and go, right, we'll have Neymar. You know, they are going to just rotate that quality.
Just to annoy
just to annoy us, yeah.
Just like, brilliant, amazing. Cristiano Ronaldo signed for City, and he's on the bench. Brilliant.
I think Haaland is probably that player that all of us can honestly say, out of all the signings that have been made, he's the one we're all most excited to see. Like, everyone wants to see him play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I want to see what he can do in the Premier League. Like, you know, he's, every league he's played in so far, he's blown it away.
Mm.
And people always say, don't they, that Premier League's probably the hardest league in the world. Can he do it? And you sort of go in, well, if anybody's going to, let's be honest.
It'd be really interesting, because I saw a great piece of research looking at transfers between the big five leagues in Europe, and monitoring the sort of outputs of players that have gone between the leagues. And I don't know how far it stretches back, and I'll dig it out, and we can perhaps share it on our Twitter. But basically, it showed that the biggest differentiation between a player going between leagues is, in terms of negatively, in terms of reducing outputs, is going from the Bundesliga to the Premier League, and it's what they call the Bundesliga tax. And apparently, I think it's 38% reduction in outputs when you move from the Bundesliga to the Premier League, and that's going back, I think, over the last sort of 5 or 6 seasons.
Wow, that's huge.
So it's huge.
I can buy that without even looking at it.
Yeah, it's huge, but it would be interesting because there are players that you think, well, you know, Haaland has got all the credentials and all the pace and the power and the finishing accuracy. You think that he'd be one of those to break the mold, that those players that are just, you know, top elite players. But it will be really interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it goes with his injury record, because he has got a knack of getting those niggles throughout the season. So that intensity of the Premier League. But it was a really interesting piece of research. But, you know, if anyone's got the ability to sort of buck that trend, then I think he has. But I think we're all intrigued to see how it goes, definitely.
Weirdly, though, I genuinely think as big as that Haaland deal is, as good as the deal is, and as excited as all of us are to see him in the league, I think that the important one will be the Phillips deal, because Fernandinho has been someone they've been trying to sort of not replace, but get a successor in. And they've had options which haven't worked. And there's other players which don't play in the same way. Phillips does. Phillips is the like for like. Fernandinho's gone, Phillips is in. If that, it's almost like, if that doesn't work, it could change the way that the team plays on the whole. Whereas if Haaland doesn't work, it's fine, because they'll just bang goals by every other player that they've got up there. Do you know what I mean? it's weird. The other side of London, then. We're going back and forth, yeah? This is ridiculous. All doing Manchester to London. If we're going by train, this is costing us a fucking fortune.
You're like a taxi driver that wants a larger fare, and they drop people off in the weird order. Do you ever have that? You're like when you've gone to town on the piss and you're in a cab on the way home, and then you just go, oh, like, yeah, we he lives there, she lives there, whatever. And they go all this weird way.
Like, what are you going to splot first? Lam Remney's furthest. Go there. And then back through.
Where are you going? There's Bristol, mate. Where are you going to stay out the fucking way?
I said St. Mellons. Why am I in Hull? Anyone who doesn't live in East Cardiff is listening.
I'm so confused. Translation. It's basically the equivalent of the Liverpool open top bus tour. That's what.
Yes. Arsenal have done some good business, I would suggest, in signing Gabriel Jesus. Lacazette has left. Aubameyang, I mean, basically ceased to exist as a functioning footballer to a certain extent. I know he did well at Barca, but he's hardly pulling up trees. And I think that's a really good signing. They probably need to do a bit more. Do you think... I'd sort of say that's at the same level as some sort of, like, you know, the Martinez deal. If United get it over the line, it's a good signing. I don't think it's going to be like a world beater of a signing.
It's a good signing. He's a good player. Like, the stats speak for themselves. We all know him as a good player. But, like, if we just, I know the Arsenal fans aren't going to like this at all, because they're literally jizzing in their pants over it. But yeah. Man City aren't stupid.
No.
His contract was up next year. They've decided not to give him a new contract. They don't want to let him go for the free next year. They've sold him to a team that is only within a couple of places of them. Do Arsenal really think, if Man City thought, hey, this guy is going to really go and make them the difference, they'd sell him? I just don't think so. There's a reason they've sold him.
Yeah, exactly. They would have just been like, look, we can afford to just renew your contract.
Yeah.
And stay. They said that he's got, I read an article that said that he wanted to leave to secure his place in the Brazilian side, which also said that he scored something like two goals in 4 years or something like that. Like, his record for Brazil is atrocious. I think you're right. I think it is more a case of they've got me. Oh, no, you'll be fine. Don't worry.
There's probably part of it that's linked to, you know, I think he was saying he wanted to kind of be in the starting squad all the time. And we all know with Man City, it's not going to always be the case. But I think I was really happy. Well, yeah, but he had 28 appearances last season, which is still, you know, really good. That's regular football. So I don't know. I don't know how to take it. It's a good signing. You know, it is a good signing. Is it a squad changing signing? No.
He's such an Arsenal. Do you know those players when they sign for clubs and you think, oh, that sort of, it just, you could just picture him in the shirt before he signed it, and he just sort of fits. He does. He's such an Arsenal signing.
It is an Arsenal signing.
It does, isn't it?
They've got an extremely Arsenal attack now.
Yeah.
Saka, Saka, Jesus, Smith Rowe, Martinelli. They're all Odegaard. They're all Arsenal style players. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't matter. Another big Premier League transfer was Mane leaving Liverpool. Sadio, he's made all of them. He's gone to Bayern Munich.
Well done. Nice.
That was good.
Gosh.
It was awful, but it was good.
Oh, dear.
He's made the Liverpool fan Sadio.
Didn't realise you wrote headlines for The Sun.
I think that's probably good business. I think if you look at the Salah signed the new contract and they've just given him like $350,000 a week or something, like a ludicrous amount of money. And they've looked at it and gone, he's in the last year of his contract. We have to renew or lose him for nothing. Bayern Munich were interested. They agreed the fee. It worked out best for everyone because they couldn't afford to keep both of them at the club.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, the fee is, If you forget the fact the contract situation, the fee is low for a player of that quality. But then when you say the fact that he's coming into the last year of his contract, it's probably like shake hands and everyone's relatively happy. But on the surface, you get a player of that quality for anywhere under 40 million is ridiculous, really. But
Liverpool fans will be saying that it's sour grapes because I'm a United fan, and it's not. But it's, at what point, who at Liverpool allowed Sadio Mane and Mo Salah both their contracts to expire in the same summer?
Who allowed
that to happen?
Karen in the office has dropped a major bollock, and shit.
It's literally someone is picking up the phone and going, yes, I need to speak to HR.
Yes. Sorry, what do you mean they both run out? No, no, you can't have got that right.
Right.
She's we only need a meeting. Put 1p need in on Outlook.
Yes, you need to come down from head office, Lydia.
Oh my god!
This is what's happening. It just seems ludicrous. Those two, because there's no way they would have annihilated their pay structure and their wage structure if they re-signed both. So they've had to sell Sadio Mane.
Somebody would have picked that up in like January, wouldn't they? And just gone, like, we can get one in this sort of budget. Let's just do the contract now.
In a previous life, I've had an Excel spreadsheet for my Football Manager and FIFA career mode sides.
I've never done it for FIFA. I will admit to the Football Manager one.
Like that immediately.
Because I may or may still not do that now.
Liverpool, if you need a new admin assistant, Luke is volunteering. You can relocate, easy. No trouble at all.
Easy. If they listen to this, I mean, they definitely are. If they listen to this and they go, oh, well, invite me in for an interview. I refuse because I'm clearly better than whoever you fucking employ your own. Because I would never, ever have let that happen in a million years. Be like, right, you were going to have a 3-year contract, you're having a 4. And then you're going to get renewed. And then it's easy, easy.
Easy, isn't it?
They brought in Nunez as well, who looks a decent signing. I'll be brutally honest, I haven't seen that much of him. It's amazing because, like, literally millions and millions of people on Twitter apparently have seen this guy play football every single week because everyone knows everything about him. I don't know where I've been hiding. I have seen him play football, but I've not watched him as much as everyone else seems to have. But he seems a decent signing from what I've seen.
Yeah,
Klopp and Liverpool.
Yeah, so it's another good sort of Klopp, I suppose Klopp-esque signing, though, in it, of... Yeah. Somebody on the periphery of being a star that is going to go on and probably be quite decent for him, unfortunately.
Yeah, he looks a good prospect.
Seems the DL signing, wasn't it? You know, like he's coming and done.
They've strengthened, you know. I mean, in not that long, I believe it's in 3 weeks' time, we will be going to... three or four, at some point between now and the future, we will be sitting down and recording our Premier League. And there's a lot of business that can be done now. But when you actually look at who's done what, again, it's hard to see past City and Liverpool. Title. With Spurs not far behind them. You know, and at some point, you and I, Nathan, sat here in about March time going, why, when we did that podcast in July, did neither of us say, why in the fuck have we got six fullbacks? That's what's going to happen.
And then that's going to be the issue, isn't it?
Yeah, someone is going to look around and go, hang on a minute.
that's
my transfer sort of as done. Mitch, what Forest doing?
We're great. We're very active. I'm very, very happy. We broke our
transfer record. Like a hedgehog in a bush in the evening.
Our knees, our new record signing from Union Berlin, 20 goals. You know, obviously I talked about the Bundesliga tax, so you never know how these players are going to translate into the Premier League. But very good signing. Nkaité from Mainz, the captain. So if we can get him, looks like it's on the verge of going through. Henderson, obviously, quality from United, you know, Premier League experience. Yeah. So pretty happy, and we're still in, I think we still need a lot more, definitely in central midfield, but we're very active, and I'm trusting the process. We've got the right people in charge.
Trust the process.
I'm a very happy bunny.
Good.
It's nice to see them taking the promotion seriously. And I think a lot of squads go up and then they're just like, this will be fine because we were great in the Championship. So it's actually nice to see a team going, no, we need to like make some improvements and develop. Otherwise, we've got no chance. So it's really positive.
We're being a bit ruthless, really, and just saying, well, yeah, you've done well to get us up, but a lot of the loan players have returned, and we're just, it's not just been a case of just trying to get the loan players back. We're going, actually, we can upgrade perhaps here. And we're going for it.
Absolutely.
Happy days. Happy days.
But, imagine being on the other end of this.
Exactly. Well, I know, but
on on the other end of what?
On the other end of the coin. Sorry, I don't know why I didn't.
You're taking it seriously.
Basically, what just happened is I just forgot to talk. Mid-sentence, I just went, now you're done.
Someone put 50p back in Luke. He's running out of bets. Change the batteries in him.
Someone just take my back off and rub the batteries up and down for a bit. There's at least another half hour in these. What the other side of this coin is, you're Fulham and you're coming up from the Championship and you're looking around at your first team and you're realising that you've got Knockhart in your side. You'd be like, someone's going to look at that and be like, how are you here? Do you know what are you doing here? The Forest have got an extremely good squad that's full of extremely good, talented players, and it's exciting to see what they do. Like Brennan Johnson, for example, I'm excited to see what they can do. Someone like Alex Mighton as well.
Yeah,
you know, these players are exciting, who have got every chance of doing exactly what someone like Ivan Toney did last season in patches, or Mbeumo in patches, you know, things like this. You know,
Cooper's the man to bring it out, you know? As well. He's so good, Cooper, with young players. So I think, he's the right man to bring out the best in those players. And if they haven't got it in them, they'll move them on. But if there's something there, he'll find it. Definitely.
Yeah. Quality. No, you've got an owner who's backing the manager and putting money into the team. And
yeah, apparently we got around, there was talk of up towards 75 million to 100 million potentially if we have the right players. So I think we're into the probably around 30 odd million. So plenty to go, whether it's all spent in this window or maybe in January and take a look at it as well. But seems like the funds are going to be there to back them. So we're
that's
not going to buy
investment.
Wondering.
Yeah.
That's a huge investment.
Yeah.
After spending, I mean, I know that a lot of the signings were loans. However, you did bring in a few players last season. Do you know what I mean? As well, there were players brought in that you managed that other clubs were interested in. Players like Garner, who you could still get back from us. There's nothing to say that Garner won't go back on loan to you.
No, he can't now, mate, because we've got Henderson. So that's
the of course, yeah.
There's one player, one club. So unless you want to sell him to us, we'll definitely take him.
Yeah, you're not having. You're not. We're not selling him to you. I reckon he'll go to Everton.
Fucking Fred. I don't want fucking Fred.
You've just got very violent about a man called Fred.
I thought you meant
about your side, yeah. But let me be very clear. If Fred got in your team, he'd be the best midfielder that you have in your club.
He would, yeah. I wouldn't pass him up, but I thought you meant Fred down the road. Potter's on his garden. Yeah, all right, fair enough.
We all prefer James Garner, mate. Ronaldo, you can have him if you want.
Well, apparently, talking to Ronaldo, he didn't show up to training today. And we know what that means.
It probably means we're giving him a fucking pay rise. That's probably what it means. Yeah.
They've agreed a new contract. They're going to pay him $500,000 a week to sit on his ass. And
yeah.
I won't say
he may turn up. He may not. Who knows? have we got any more for any more?
No, I'm
happy, Benny.
Yeah, I think
your batteries are about to run out anyway, so we better wrap it up.
Exactly.
The epitome of professionalism, just like the Liverpool admin staff.
I know. Is
thoroughly prepared.
Just to circle back to my original point. I will come in for that meeting.
Someone can get in touch.
Yeah, someone just hit me up at Touchline Rant on Twitter. Let me know. Thank you very much, guys. I enjoyed that immensely.
Thank you.
At some point between now and at some point in the future, we'll be back. Probably next Tuesday.
Probably.
See you next Tuesday.
See what happens.
Ta-ra.
Hi, I'm David Cottrell, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Touchline Rant. This is a Touchline Rant. A touchline. Oh, touchline, touchline.